All right. Today we're going to do Chazara for Sikkos 41 and 42. So we're going to start. Sikkos 41 is called Knas V'Tayna Petulim, the Chereshet V'Shota. So the halacha, whether or not a Chereshet V'Shota gets Knas, and whether she has some sort of a claim when it comes to Tainas Petulim. So first we start with the background leading up to our case. So we know there's two cases. We have a case of a Ma'anis, where the man claims that I was ma'anis this girl, he was moda in the end, but it doesn't matter, she wasn't a basula, so I'm not chayev her knas. And she says, no, I was a basula. Right? So it's his word versus her word. Seemingly we don't have a clear way to decide which way to win. Then we have another case where a couple is getting divorced many years down the line, and they are arguing how much, for some reason they don't have the ksuva written of how much money they're supposed to get, and they're arguing whether she was a basula or ba'ula at the time of marriage. And seemingly it's his word versus her word. So she wins. The question is why? Why does she win? So there's a Rambam. Ran brings down a Rambam, and he brings his own shita. The Rambam brings down the Rambam, says it's two reasons why she could win. The Rambam would say that the first reason, we have a rov and a chazaka for the girl. So although each individually can't knock at the chazaka, together they could win. And the Ran says that's a good answer for the Rambam, but my answer is that seemingly a rov and a chazaka individually can't win. If you add them up, they still won't win. The only reason why we allow her to get the knas from this guy, and we will believe her about being a basula at the time of marriage, is because the Torah is mechadish that she should win, because at least for the purposes of the case of ones. Otherwise, the Gama'anis, every time he goes to court, is going to claim she wasn't a basula. So then the whole institution of Knas will be out the door. And the same story, the guy gets divorced, he's going to say, whenever he's able to hide the ksuva somehow, or any proof that she was a basula, he'll always claim that she's a ba'ula. So there has to be the Torah is being mechadish that, no, we're going to believe her. Fine. That's in a very vague case where we have no seemingly obvious reason to go one way or the other. Then we have Ksuvis and Yud that says that if the man claims she's not a basula at the time of Bia, and she claims that she was a basula, right? So head on bari, right after the Bia, she's claiming I was a basula at the time of Bia, you're lying. So the din is we believe him because we have a chazaka inan tarech basuda umafsida, right? A guy's not going to invest so much money into the wedding and then come the next day and say that and start lying that, oh, I didn't want to be married, that this girl wasn't a basula. Why don't you just say it yesterday before you spent thousands and thousands of dollars on the wedding? Obviously, the amount of money shows that he's telling the truth. So that's a reason for him to win. So now we kind of shifted back to his side, or at least in a case where this chazaka could apply. Now, the last case that I mentioned is just, we have Yud Bet Amabet and Ksuvis. It's the Misha Estani Ne'nafti case that the man claims that at the time of Erisin, you were not a basula, and it's a mechachto, so you should only deserve a ksuba of 100. You were a ba'ula at the time that we had Erisin, and you claim that you were a basula, that you should get full 200, but that's not true. And she says, no, I was a basula at the time of Erisin. It happens to be, after Erisin, I was nana. Someone is ma'anis me after Erisin, and that's why I'm no longer a basula. But she's agreeing to him that right now I'm not a basula. So, And the Mishnah says that basically that well, it's machlok, I guess, but we paskin that we're gonna believe her. So, and it's seemingly the reason why is because bari v'shem bari adif. She's bari, she knows what happened to her. The guy doesn't have a clue. Perhaps she was nanas, perhaps not, but he's just going out on a limb, and obviously he wants to say, well, you know, you were in a basula at the time of Erisin, so therefore he could decrease her ksuva amount. Fine. So now this all brings us back to our Gemara here. The Gemara is basically dealing with the case of a girl who's a Chereshet or a Shota, and so this girl is unable to speak. If a man marries one of these girls, and then he comes the next morning and says she's not a Basula, so she can't respond, she doesn't make any claim. So we have two Braisas. The first Braisa says, Yishlam Knas, Yishlam Tainis Basulim. And the second Braisa says, Ein Lahem Tainis Basulim. So, and some people have the Girsa, then the first one it just says, Yishlam Lahem Knas, and the second one says, in lahen tainas basulim. So at this point also, we are assuming that that means the first braisa would be saying she gets a knas. If a man was to be ma'ani, sir, to So she would get, if a charesh of shoda, the charesh of shoda would get a knas. However, yesh la'an tainis v'sulim, we think would mean that the man could tell the girl that you are not a basula, and she can't say anything, obviously, because she's a charesh of shoda, and she would lose her ksuva. And the second braita is saying that the girl would win the ksuva, and on a simple level, both braitas, we assume, agree that the girl would always get knas. There's no reason to make a machlokas there. Fine. So the Gemara answers that one of the braitas was Rabbi Gamliel, the other braita was Rishua. So now we have 5.5, or 4.5 to 5.5, potentially 6 shitas on what this Mishnah means, on what the Gemara is talking about. So Rashi says, the simple shot. This machlokas Rabbi Gamliel or Yeshua, what's this Gemara referring to? This machlokas Rabbi Gamliel or Yeshua is going back to the Mishnah Estani Ne'enasti case, right? Where Rabbi Gamliel says, this Bari B'Shema is Bari Adif, and we believe the girl. And Rabbi Yeshua says, Lomi Pia Anu Chayin, we don't believe the girl at all. So, when you tie it back to our Gemara, the Gemara says that the Beitin, so Rabbi Gamliel will be the first Braita Rabbi Gamliel will be the second braita that says Ein lehen tainis v'sulim, and therefore the girl would win because the Beitin will make the claim for her, Misha Restani Ne'enasti, she'll win. The first braita will be Rabbi Yeshua, that Yesh lehen tainis v'sulim, that the man will win because Lomi Pi'anu Chayin. And at the end of all these, each sheet that we go through, you'll see that generally most of them follow the same psak, but since we pass on like Rabbi Gamliel, the girl would end up winning in our case, and also she would get the knas, because everyone agrees seemingly that they get knas. Well, no. The second braita doesn't say anything about knas.
But you would assume that.
But everyone, yeah. The Chora and Rasabalevsky mentioned in Shir that at a certain point, everyone agrees at this point that we were passing to get the knas. Here is the first time we diverge from that shita, that idea that we always pass to get the knas. There's no reason to make a machlokas there. So then we had a potential. You could call it its own shita, but it's the Ritva commenting on Rashi. The Ritva had the second girsa where, in the first braita, it didn't say yesh lahem tainis v'sulim, that the man would win. It just says yesh lahem knas. But so he said, questions on Rashi. How can Rashi just assume that that's Rabbi Yeshua, that the man will win? Well, it doesn't say the man will win in that thing. It just says yesh lahem knas. So he reinterprets the yesh lahem knas to say, knas is sort of punishment. It's a knas on the girl. It doesn't mean that if she's na'anas, she'll get her knas. It rather means that when they go to Beit Din and the guy claims that she wasn't a basula and she can't claim anything, so she's going to lose her ksuva. It's a knas on her, right? And essentially saying the exact same, it's the same exact shita as Rashi, that Rabbi Yeshua is the first shita, that Rabbi Yeshua is the first braita that she loses in the case of Charesh Veshota, and Rabbi Gamliel is the second braita that she wins. And it's just a way to fit Rashi into the different girsa. Yeah.
That Yesh Knas is not a reference to the girl receiving the compensation for Knas. Rather, it's to say that she gets penalized.
Exactly. She gets penalized for not being a basula, because we're just believing the man. Lo mipi'anu chayin. She has no way to claim, because it's Rabbi Yeshua Shita. He's just sticking in and he's saying, essentially, Yesh Lahen Knas means the exact same thing as Yesh Lahen Tainis Basulim, as we interpreted Yesh Lahen Tainis Basulim before. That Yesh Lahen Tainis Basulim usually means the man wins. So and we don't make any, we're not Ta'aninan for the girl, we make no claim for her. We just believe the man, she loses. And now Yesh Lahen Knas just means essentially the same thing. We're putting a knas on her, we're making her lose. So he just reinterprets that. Usually we understand Yesh Lahen Knas that the Ma'anis has to pay up a knas to the girl.
That is according to the Ritva's understanding of the first verse, so that would mean Rabbi Yeshua would hold the girl does not receive knas.
So it doesn't make any, meaning the braises don't, it's not discussing that. But maybe not. I would assume that we'd still assume that she would get the knas. But I'm not sure. Then the Ritva says, obviously the Ritva doesn't like reinterpreting the Yesh Lahen Knas, and he didn't understand how Rashi could come to that conclusion because he didn't have Rashi's girsa. So he says, Ritva has the second girsa, so he comes up with his own shot. He agrees with Rashi, the machlokas between Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Yeshua is referring to the machlokas of Misha Restani Ne'enasti. And he agrees with Rashi that Rabbi Gamliel is the second braita, that when it says Ein Lahen Tainis V'sulim, it's saying the girl wins. The Beis Din will make a claim for her, that Misha Restani Ne'enasti, and we give the girl her money. She wins. However, she deserves 200. However, the braita that's attributed to Rabbi Yeshua only says Yesh Lahen Knas. So what, how does he understand that means, how is there even a theory in the Gemara? How does he understand that that's yesh, that also means yesh lain tainus pasulim, that the man will win, and therefore he could equate it to Yeshua? So he says, what is this Brisa saying? Yesh lain knas, they teach us that only yesh lain knas, the only time the girl wins in any, by a Chereshin Neshota, the only time a Chereshin Neshota could ever beat the other side by a man is a case of an ones, where the man says she's not a basula, and the Beis Din will say she is a basula, and she'll get knas. However, if it was not a case of knas, for example, a case where it was just the guy claiming you're not, it's a regular marriage, and the guy claims you're not a basula, so we're not going to be ta'aninon for her, misha restani na'anasi. So it's a chiddush in the Mishnah that only yesh lain knas, but nothing else. So meaning that the man will win by a case of tainus basulim. And the reason, the logic behind this, meaning what's the logic to differentiate, is that the knas, in the case of knas, the man doesn't have a chazakah of inodom tereich v'sudah mafsida, because there was no, the man who's ma'anisar didn't get married, didn't pay for anything. In the case of tainus basulim, he has some sort of chazakah because he did pay for the wedding, he paid, so he has more of a reason to believe him. Then we have the Balaam Or, the fourth shita. There's another, I believe it's the Ramban who says after, that, not the Ramban, the, let me see, it was the Mishnah Lamelech who said that in theory the Ritva didn't have to go to that extreme to explain why the Ritva didn't have to go to that extreme to explain that, oh, he doesn't have the Chazak anymore. He could have just made the differentiation between the Araisa and the Rabbanon. That the Araisa, this Chazakah wouldn't apply anyway, and it happens to be that Knas is the Araisa, and the case of Ksuva and that Gemara, we're assuming Ksuva is the Rabbanon. So therefore, that's why the man's Chazakah will work. That's just a side point. So now, the Baal Meor is the fourth Shita. He says this whole discussion up until now is all ridiculous. It says Yesh Lahen Tainus Basulim. It doesn't say Yesh Lahem. It's referring to the woman. The woman have some sort of card they could pull to win. So we've been assuming up to now, Yesh Lahen Tainus Basulim means the man wins. They have a Tainus Basulim, means the man will beat the girl, and he will get, and he's believed that she wasn't a Basula. But it says Lahen. So he rereads everything. The first Braisa says they get a Knas, and they are believed. Right? The second Braisa says they are not believed. So he says, very simple. I'll say the first Braisa is Rabbi Gamliel, right? Flipping it. First Braisa is Rabbi Gamliel that says they get Knas and they get believed. And the second Braisa is Rabbi Yeshua, who says they don't get Knas and they are not believed. So essentially, the end result, Rabbi Gamliel will say the girl always wins. Rabbi Yeshua will say the man always wins. So interestingly, this is also, so far, all the psakos, based on all these shitas, if we pass on like Rabbi Gamliel. So in the end of the day, everyone agrees. Rabbi Gamliel would say she's believed and she gets the Knas. Right? Happens to be that the Baal Meor is the first one to change the pshat of Rabbi Yeshua, even though we don't pass like Yeshua. This is the first time we have a clear sheet to saying that Yeshua would say the man would win in the Knas case, because the Yeshua would say that the man always wins. So that's the Baal Meor. But either way, we pass like Rabbi Gamliel, so it doesn't have a nafkamina lalacha. So now Tosos comes with he brings a bunch of kashas, and he says he rejects everyone, and he says it must be that the Gemara was not talking about the machlok. Rabbi Gamliel and Rishua, when it mentions them, it's not talking about Mishra Estani and Anasti case. Nothing to do with that. It's talking about their machlokas with regard to Mukat Eitz. Rabbi Gamliel says that if a girl claims that she's a Mukat Eitz, right, the guy says, you're not a Basula. We had Via, you're not a Basula. She says, no, I was a Mukat Eitz. So Rabbi Gamliel says she's believed. Rishua says he's not believed. And what's their machlokas dependent on? Their machlokas is dependent on how probable it is that she's a Mukat Eitz. Rabbi Gamliel thinks it's very probable. And remember, Yeshua says, no, Mukat Eitz doesn't happen so often. So that now when you read our Gemara, so we'll say Rav Gamliel is the second Braisa, right? Tosos goes back to our original understanding of Yesh Lahen Tainus Basulim, that Yesh Lahen Tainus Basulim means the man wins. So he goes back, he says, Rav Gamliel is the second Braisa that says, and he'll say, listen, she's Chareshet Vashota, that's a very reasonable reason to believe that she's a Mukat Eitz. They don't know what they're doing, they're walking around, they could bump into things. So it's very possible she's a Mukat Eitz. So we, the Beit Din, will be Tanin and for her, and claim she's a Mukat Eitz, and she'll win. And Rav Yeshua is the first Braita that says that that she gets a knas. Right, it happens to be Tosas had the second Girsa, but he'll say she gets a knas, but she's not believed. However, she gets a knas. And this is why Tosas has the second Girsa, and he says the first Braita, all it says is Yesh Lain Knas. They get a knas. And why does she get a knas? Because Rabbi Yeshua assumes that she's not a Mukat Eitz. right? Which means she was a basula, and that's the reason why she'll get a knas. And once I say Rabbi Yeshua is this right, so that and we're, that she gets knas because she's not a mugaritz. So obviously, if she's not a mugaritz, she can't claim she's a mugaritz. And then the man is believed, and then the man is believed to say that she's that she wasn't a basula. So, yeah, sorry.
I'm just by assuming that that hurts her regarding kinas.
Exactly.
But that helps her regarding
Tainas Basula.
Because when he makes a Taina, she's not Basula, we respond back, yeah, you should have known that she wasn't.
And that's exactly. And that's how Tosfos figured it out in our Gemara, because he only had the second Girsa, and the first Braisa says she gets kinas, and right. The second Braisa says she wins the case of Tainas Basula. So second Braisa says that he wins the case of Tainas Basula. So why is that a stira? So he's, what's the connection? So it's like, oh, if it's all tali on mukar eitz, so the first right that she gets a knas, what's it saying? We don't think she's a mukar eitz. We think she's a basula. That's why she gets knas, because a mukar eitz doesn't get knas. So we think she's a basula, and once we establish she's a basula, so then she'll get knas, but she will lose tainus basula. Right? She can't claim that I was a mukar eitz, and that's why we'll say Rabbi Yeshua. The second one which just says that ein lehen tainus basulim, that the man is believed. So why would the man be believed? Because we could assume the second braita, which says ein lehen tainus basulim, the woman is believed. So we could assume why she believed. It's Rabbi Gamliel, who says that she's a mukaritz. She could claim she's a mukaritz, but once we assume that she's probably a mukaritz, so she just lost her knas. And that's the big psak that comes out of Tosfos. We pass on like Rabbi Gamliel. So this is the first time we actually changed our psak le'alacha, that Rabbi Gamliel would now say, granted, we believe her, right? That's the same. We believe her by Tainus Basulim, right? Because she could say, I'm a Mukarit, Taninan, basically we'll make the claim for her. However, the big difference between Tosfos and everyone else is now Tosfos will say that she doesn't get a Knas, because we assume that she's a Mukarit. And Mukarit doesn't get a Knas. So now, this comes to those are the five Shitas, basically. We have this, perhaps it's a sixth Shita, unclear. We're just going to touch on the Shitas HaRambam, right? All the Shitas HaRambam says, Chareshit and Shota don't get Knas. Question is, why not? Right? Seemingly, Tosfos is the only one who said that. Rabbi Gamliel would say, the Chesh Shota don't get Knas. So why not? Simple pshat, he holds like Tosfos, understand the Gemara, and Rabbi Gamliel, that a Chesh and a Shota, we assume they're Mukaretz, and therefore they get no Knas. But do we really want to say that the Rambam goes like Tosfos, which is a very Mechudish big idea, that the Rabbi Gamliel and Yeshua is not talking about Misha Vastani and Nasti, but rather Mukaretz? So we say, no, the Orach HaShulchan comes and says, no, it's different. There's another Rambam. The other Rambam says an Islandist doesn't get Knas. Now we have a problem. The Orach HaShulchan presents a stira. There's a Rambam that says an Islandist doesn't get Knas. However, we know the Rambam passes like the Chachamim, who say that a Ketana does get Knas. That's the stira, because we assume an Islandist has the same dinim of a Ketana. And so if an Islandist doesn't get Knas, how can the Rambam say that a Ketana does get Knas? So the Maharik, the Orach HaShulchan quotes the Maharik, who explains that no, Ketana and Islandist are different, because the din of the Chachamim was learnt. The din of the Chachamim, that a katana does get knas, was learned from the drasha of Nara. Right? Nara, which was lacking a hay. So we said a Nara that's lacking a hay is coming to include a katana. However, since it was learned from this drasha of the word was actually Nara, it has to be it only comes to include a katana that will one day become a Nara. Right? It's a Nara that's lacking. But she is essentially a future Nara. Right? So that is the reason why. And so he wants to say that that's the reason why Islandus doesn't get Knas, because an Islandus can never become a Nara, so she doesn't get Knas. So now we want to say, so the Orach HaShulchan comes and say, maybe we could extend this to a Chareshet V'Shota. A Chareshet V'Shota, we could say, is equal to an Islandus. Why? Because Chareshet V'Shota can never become a fully functional Nara. So we won't consider them a Nara with regard to this Drasha, and therefore they won't be included in the Knas. And we just present it, so that's how the Rambam doesn't necessarily need to agree with Tosfos' reading of our Gemara. He can read it the normal way and just say there's a different reason why Chareshet V'Shota don't get Knas, because they're equal to an Islandist, they're not included in the Drasha. We pointed out that this is difficult with the Gemara, with the text of our Gemara, which assumed that the Gemara, Mefurish, assumed that Ketana and Islandist are equal. But we realized that in the end of the Gemara, the Maskana, there was a way to read it that when it says we pass like a mayor one way, we pass like a mayor in the other way, that you could split Ketana and Islandist. Fine. And the last thing in the sugya was that there were two ways to understand. It was a kasha, Tosos and Tosos Rosh's question on basically all the pshatim. There are two ways to understand Ksuvas Yud Bet Amabet about Misha Estani and Anasti, why the girl is believed. Either in the maskana. Either it is because bari v'shem bari adif plus she has a chazaka kamaisa, chazaka meikara, that she's a basula, the combination, or the maskana was rejecting bari v'shem bari adif and replacing it by saying it was only because of chazaka kamaisa. So now, the problem is the manavshach. If you're going to say it's bari v'shem bari adif with mishir estan, with chazaka kamaisa, so Rashi's pshat makes no sense, says Tosfos, because how could Beis Din come and make a claim for this Charesha Peshota that she's a Misha, that Misha Estani Ne'enasti, that she was Ne'enas after Erisin? How can they make that claim? Beis Din's not Bari, they have no clue. So that would throw it, if it needed Bari Veshema, that's out the door. And even if you're going to say the Maskana is that the Chazak, that it's based on Chazaka Kamaisa, that she's the Chazaka Besula, and that's why she wins. Well, the Chazaka is the chazaka can't be enough to be motiv mamon here, because there's a reyusa, because even the girl agrees, it makes no sense why the chazaka should work, because even the girl agrees that she's not a basula. So there's a reyusa in the chazaka. So the chazaka should never be really able to win by itself. So Tosos actually answers on himself. We have a raya and Gemara and Ksuvus Ayin Vav. The Gemara in Ksuvus Ayin Vav is a very complicated Gemara, but implies that Chazaka Kamaisa can be Moti Mamon. Fine, no problem there. So now we have a different problem. How can it be that Chazaka Kamaisa can be Moti Mamon? Why? Because we know that Rov beats Chazaka. We know that Rov beats Chazaka, and we know that Rov can't be Moti Mamon. Right, Rov is not great enough to be Moti Mamon, and Rov is greater than Chazaka. So we would assume if Rov is greater than Chazaka, and Rov can't be Moti Mamon, so for sure Chazaka can't be Moti Mamon. But we just said that Chazaka can be Moti Mamon, right? And that's what all of Rashi's Pshat, all of the other Shitas Pshat has to rely on, because they can't rely on Bari V'Shema, because Bari V'Shema is out the door, because Beis Din is not a Bari. So they must be relying on the Chazaka, but we just showed that Chazaka can't be Motzi Mamon. Of course Chazaka can't be Motzi Mamon, because Rov can't be Motzi Mamon, and Rov is better than Chazaka. So there are two answers. First answer is very nice, the Ritva and Rosh, straight, very simple. Tosfos is assuming that Beit Din can't make a Tainas Bari for the girl. Who says Beit Din has special powers, they have Ta'aninan, the special Din of Ta'aninan. Even if Beit Din doesn't know, they can make a claim, and we'll call it a Tainas Bari. So they have Bari of Hashem, plus the Chazaka. Now Yeshua says, I guess he agrees with Tosfos with regard to this, the Bari V'Shem out of the door, but he says, still the Chazaka will work here. Why? Because even though Rov can't be Motzi Mamon, and Rov beats Chazaka, so seemingly the Chazaka shouldn't be Motzi Mamon, this is only in a case where the defendant is a Muchzak who's Bari. Right? The Bari, by being a Bari, it creates in him a Muchzak as a Baal Mamon, where he actually is claiming that I actually am supposed to be owning this money, and once he has that sort of claim, this leads for the cheskas mamon to kick in, the hamoti mechaveh or lavaraya to kick in, and then once you have that, the chazaka kamaisa won't help the girl, and in that sort of case, we're going to say exactly Rov is greater than chazaka, Rov can't be moti mamon, so chazaka can't be moti mamon. However, if we're dealing with a case where the guy is misupak, whether he actually owes the money, whether he actually deserves the money, for example, our case, which we're claiming Mishra Estani Nanasi for her. He has no idea if she was Nanas before or after Erisin, what her situation was. He's making it up. So he hopes that she wasn't, so he could save some money. But he has no clue, so therefore he's not really muchzak in the money. And once he's not muchzak in the money, we can't apply his chazaka to knock out her chazaka, and her chazaka loses the reyusa, and we fall back onto the regular dinim of rov and chazaka. And therefore, the chazaka is good enough to win. It's a very mechudosh pshat. So that is basically the gist of sugya number 41. Yeah, so the recap, we had, generally we assume that in a machlokas, the girl will, in any, most of these machlokas, the girl will win, except when the man has a chazak of inom tereich b'suda mafsida. Then we had a special case of Mishra Estani Ne'enasti, which was not a simple case, it was a Bari V'Shema, and we assumed the girl would win. We had our Gemara, which presented two braisas of the first one, Yeshlein Knas and Tainas Asulim, the second one, meaning the guy would win, the second one saying that the girl would win in a case of Charesh of Ashota, where a man claims that she wasn't a basula. So there's just seemingly a steer in the bright side. We answered wondering Leo and Yeshua. And we had five shitas. Rashi says that the Rabbi Gamliel is the brisa that says the girl will win because we claim Mishir Astani Nanasti for her, and Rishua says Mishir Astani Nanasti wouldn't do anything, so he's the brisa that says the girl would lose. The second was the Ritva on Rashi, who just changes the girsa, and he says that he doesn't have Yeshlam Tani Sulam, he only has Yeshlam Knas, and he says, what does Yeshlam Knas mean? It just means that we punish the girl, right? Meaning that essentially the same thing as Yeshlam Tani Sulam, it's just exchanging words, and therefore the man will still win. And he says the same thing, the Yeshua is the second, first, the Rumaliel is the second. Then we had the Ritva with his own shot that Rabbi Gamliel is the second brisa, just like Rashi. However, the first brisa of Yeshua, which says Yeshlan Knas, is to teach us that he does side with the man. However, only in the case of Knas he sides with the man, the only time the woman wins is in the case of Knas, but in general the man will win. So he's still sticking with the exact same shita as everyone else, just presenting it in different ways based on the girsos. Then we had the Baal Ma'or, who says that, points out that Lahen, it goes to the girls. So the first brisa is saying the girl wins, and the girl gets Knas. And the second brisa says the man would win in the case of Tanis Sulam. So he presented, Rabbi Gamliel says the girl always wins, Rabbi Yeshua says the man always wins, even in a case of Knas. And that would be the first difference. Then we had Tosfos, who says that we're getting totally wrong on the machlokas between Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Gamliel. We're really talking about Mukad Eitz. The brisa that says the brisa that says she gets Knas, that's talking about Rabbi Yeshua Shita, where she gets Knas because we assume she's not a Mukaret. We assume she's a Basula. And since she's a Basula, she can't now come claim she's a Mukaret. So she would lose in the case of Tainus Basulim. Second Raita that says that the girl wins in Tainus Basulim, we're going to say it's a Rabbi Gamliel because we assume that she is a Mukaret. And therefore, since she is a Mukaret, though, she would lose her Knas. And that's enough for Mina Alacha. Tosfos would say that the girl would not get Knas because we pass them like a Rabbi Gamliel. We had the Rambam who says Charesh and Neshota don't get Knas. Either we could say that's because he holds like Tosfos, that like Rabbi Gamliel's new Shita, that Charesh and Shota don't get Knas, or because the Orach HaShulchan presented it, that it's based on the Drasha of Na'ara, that it comes to only include the only Ketanos that get Knas, or Ketanos that can become a Na'ara, and Ilanos, for example, wouldn't get Knas, even though a regular Ketano would, according to the Rambam. So too, the Charesh and Shota wouldn't get Knas because they're never going to become a fully functional Na'ara. And then we then had the Gemara about Mishra Estani and Anasti, about whether it's Bar Yishema with Chazak HaMaisa or just Chazak HaMaisa by itself that's enabling the girl to win. And Tosfos pointed out the problem with Rashi's Pshad and all the other Shitas, that if it's a Bar Yishema, well, you lose your... Beis Din can't make a Tainus Bar for the girl, so she wouldn't win because Beis Din doesn't know. And if it's a Chazaka, well, she's not a Basula. She's even Moda herself, she's not a Basula. So Chazaka would never win. She can't use the Chazaka. It's a race. So how can Rashi and them ever say she wins based on the case of... How can you say the Machlokas Mishra Astani Nanasti and say that she'll win? So Tosfos happens to answer that, no, it is all based on the Chazaka Kamaisa, and it can be Moti Mamun, as we see in the Gemara and Ayin Vav. However, we have a different problem that how can you say, Tosfos, even based on the Gemara, how can the Gemara say that Chazaka could win? Because we know that Rov can't be Moti Mamun, and Rov is greater than Chazaka. So how can Chazaka be enough? So we have two answers. The Ritva and the Rashi say, you're right, Chazaka isn't enough. Rather, it's the whole combo Chazaka with Bari Vashema that's really winning. And don't tell me that Beis Din can't make a Tainus Bari. Beis Din can make a Tainus Bari. That's the Chiddush of Ta'aninon. Beis Din can make a Tainus Bari for the girl. And then we have the Pnei Yeshua, who says that no, the only time Chazaka can't be Moti Mamon is, and when it's worse than a Rov, is when the guy is not Muchsuk as a in the Mamon. He's not a Baal Mamon. He's not claiming that I actually own the Mamon. He's not a Bari. Because in a case where he's a Bari, so then he has his Cheskas Mamon at full strength, and the Chazaka is basically ruined. The Chazaka Maisa won't have any effect, and it can't be Moti Mamon. However, if the guy's a Shema, so then his Chazaka, his Moti Mechavei Levaraya, is not there, or it's not full strength. Unclear exactly. But he's not as Mukhsak in the money as he is in the first case, and we fall back on our other dinim of Rov and Chazaka, and that's our case of Mishra Astani Nanasti, where the man isn't sure if the girl was actually Nanas, and therefore we say that that the Chazaka will win for the Chazaka Maisa, and that's good enough. Alright, that's 41. It's a little long. Now the second Sugya 42 is Boshes Upagam Ben Nara Shinis Aras Veniskarsha. Whether we're talking about a girl, right, that she had Arison and she got divorced, what is the deal with the Boshes Upagam there if someone was Ma'anisar? So we had a Basula, Nara Shinis Aras Veniskarsha. There was a three-way Machlokes. right? We had Rav Yossi Agalili, who says that the girl does not get any knas because the pasuk says asher lo orasa, right? She had no erison, meaning if a girl had erison, she gets no knas. This girl who had erison and then got divorced, she gets no knas. Fine. We had a brisa. We had a shitas or a kiva in the brisa who says that no, the girl would get knas, and it goes, but the knas would go to the father, right? Why? Asher lo orasa is only excluding a girl who is currently an arusa. This girl was erison and she got divorced. She's back to a normal nara, so therefore it's the normal way. The father gets the knas. Then we had a rekiva of the Mishnah, which we're going to focus most of the shir on, is that there is a knas, and unlike Rav Galili, there is a knas, in this case, Mizaris Mizgasha, and it goes to the girl. And what the pasuk is teaching is the shelo arasa, those are the knasos that go to the father, right, if she didn't have erisin. But now that she did have erisin, now she gets the knas. So we're going to have to understand why basically the father was paka, why he loses rights. So we know there are other payments, right? There's boshes, pgam, the main two we'll deal with. There's also nezik tzar and ripui. So according to Rav Akiva that we just discussed, that basically the knas would go to the girl, where do all these other payments go? The father or the girl? So with machlokes Rambam Rush. The Rambam says, very simple, the normal rules are the father gets everything, right? By a nara. The father gets everything. And the pasuk we have a special pasuk, Asher lo arasa, that is coming to teach us that the girl gets the knas. But normally the father gets everything, so the father will continue to get the boshes begam. And the Rush comes and says, no, we have a hekesh that compares boshes begam to knas. So since knas is going to her based on the pasuk, so too boshes begam will go to her because it follows, they're one and the same, they go together because there's a hekesh. Fine. So now we have a bunch of rayas from a bunch of gemaras that are very, we knock them down one by one. But the main Gemara that we're going to deal with is the Mishnah in Ksuvis in Mem Aleph Amabet. It says if they didn't go to Beit Din before the father died, then the knas goes to the girl, right? The girl was ma'anes, and they're planning going to Beit Din, and then it happens to be the father died, never went. Suddenly they go to Beit Din. The din is that the father who would normally get the knas, he's not alive, he's dead, and it doesn't go to the brothers, it goes to the girl. Right, so because we're going to say that the father was not zuche in the knas till the time of Beit Din, until the time of Gmar Din. That's the schus. So he never had the schus to basically be. He can't be mezake a schus of knas. He can't be mezake a schus of knas to the sons, and he wasn't. He didn't have the knas yet, so he can't be morishet, the word she used to his sons. And so since he was never zuche even in the first place because he died, so it falls to the girl. Fine. So where does the boshes begam go, however? That's the knas. Boshes begam, however, is not knas. Boshes begam is mamonis. So maybe we should have different dinim. So Tosfos says, simply, they also go to the girl. Why? Because he has the hekesh of the rush. The knas goes to the girl, so too the boshes begam goes to the girl. Simple. The Ramban, the second shita, says, there's no hekesh. I don't know where you got that hekesh from. I don't hold to the rush's hekesh. Therefore, the brothers get it, because it's very simple. The man is chayiv the boshes begam from the moment he was done with the ones. The second he was ma'anis, the girl, he's chayiv the boshes begam. Boshes begam is momonis. The father is basically zoche in this mamon. The father dies, he's morishit to his sons. His sons inherit the zchus of his father's momonis, and they get the boshes begam. So the knas will go to the girl, momonis will go to the brothers. The Rambam, however, says, seemingly like Tosfos, he says she gets everything. She gets the knas, which everyone agrees to, and she also gets the boshes begam. Now, what's the problem? How can the Ram, seemingly the only logical conclusion for why she would get boshes begam, it should go to the brothers, it's mumminous, right? The only logical reason why she would get boshes begam is based on the hekesh. But we know the Ram doesn't agree with this hekesh, like we just mentioned before. He argues with the Rush. He says, by an arusa shenis arsef and diskarsha, she gets the knas, but the father gets the boshes begam. He splits them, so he doesn't hold his hekesh. So how can the Ram say that she gets boshes begam? Where is he coming from? So if Shach has the answer, he comes and says, we need a first build up. There's two points. One, there's a machlokas Rabbi Shimon and the Chachamim. Rabbi Shimon says the only way the father gets the knas if he's alive at the time of the payment, right? Not the time of Beis Din. Even if he's at Din, if the father dies after, he gets nothing. Right? He has to be at the time of the actual payment, and he has to pick it up. That's his money, right? And that is the shas chiyuv, right? And how does he come to this conclusion? Rabbi Shimon says it's based on the drashan v'natan la'avi hanara v'natan, that you need a ma'isa netina. You need an actual transaction, and the chum are, and that's when the father's zochin it. The chum argue and say that it's from the time of din, And how? So how do they read the pasuk? Because the v'natan, it's basically essentially after mar din, it's basically that is the beginning of the netina process, because he's going to have to give it now. He's basically guaranteeing that he's gonna pay later. So because they said you're paskin, you're chayiv to pay. So now, so that's basically v'natan. That's the v'natan, the gemar din. Fine. We also have a svara. Second point. We also have a svara that the father in general should get the boshes of gam. Why? Because he can marry off the girl to a manuvel. He can marry off to a mukat shchein. He can marry off to someone super embarrassing. He can embarrass the girl. So of course he should and get the kedusha kesef. So of course he deserves the boshes of gam. He's in charge of her busha. So based on these two ideas, we can say that when the pasuk says v'natan la'avihanara, so what normally goes to the avihanara? Two things: the boshes gam, the knas, but also the boshes gam. Like we just established, the svara shows the boshes gam goes to the father. So when the pasuk says v'natan la'avihanara, it's not just talking about the knas; it's talking about the boshes gam also. And once we say that it's talking about boshes gam, so they're all grouped together in this pasuk. So any halacha that pertains to this idea of netina is talking about both the boshes gam and the knas. And what is an example of that halacha? The shas chiyuv that we learn out from the word v'natan. So disregarding Rabbi Shimon, we have the chachamim who say, what is the shas chiyuv that we learn from v'natan? We learn v'natan that you need a start of a nesina, which we're going to call is the base din after gemar din. So that after gemar din is what's mechayev all the monies that is going to be la'avi anara. And what is included in that? That's knas and boshes v'gam. So even though we're going to say boshes gam is mamonis, whatever it is, the shas chiyuv is not at the time of onis. The shas chiyuv is just like the knas, that it comes at the time of the of gemar din, and that's all based on the pasuk v'natan la'avihanara. So now in our case, so the Rambam will say the girl died, the father died before gemar din, so therefore he was never zocha in the boshes gam, and therefore it goes straight to the. It goes straight to the girl, and she'll get everything. Even though the Rambam doesn't hold to the Hekesh. Oh, and however, by Arusa Nisharis of Niskarsha, the Rambam's going to split it, because the father really deserves everything, right? But the girl is still going to get the knas, because we have a special drasha of Asher Lo Arasa. It's a special din, a special pasuk that teaches that the girl gets the knas in this case, even though the father, in theory, should be able to get everything. So because there's no Hekesh, I don't care one way or the other, it doesn't mean anything. Fine. So now the last thing in the sugya is basically that the Gemara says Harei Hein Shalatma, that the girl gets the Boshes Subgam. So if you're the Tosos Rosh and the Rambam, very easy, very simple. They say that she gets everything. They say she gets the Knas and the Boshes Subgam in the case where the father died before Gemar Din. Right? That she Harei Hein Shalatma, she gets the Knas and the Boshes Subgam. So it's Harei Hein. Hein is plural, Boshes Subgam. They go to the girl. Very simple. She gets everything. She gets the knas, the boshes gam, but Harei Hein is referring to boshes gam. However, if you're the Ramban was the one who said that that if the father dies before gemar din, so then the brothers get the boshes gam, because the father was morish his chus and the boshes gam to the brothers. So when we say Harei Hein la'atma, that she's getting Hein, she's getting them. What's it talking about? It can't be talking about boshes gam. Boshes gam is going to the brothers. And it can't, and knas is a singular thing. You can't just say she's getting the knas, because it's them. She's getting something plural. So what is it talking about? So the Ramban says, oh, it's talking about knasos of onus and mafata. Regardless of the case, hein, both cases of onus and the knas of mafata, they go to the girl. The problem is that it's not true. By an onus, granted, they would go to the girl. By a mafata, the girl's not going to get the knas by a mafata. If she's mafata, she's mochel or knas. Right, she gave in. So we have two answers to this problem. The first one is the Ramban. He answers it himself.
Is this the Ramban or the Ramban?
The Ramban, all the Ramban. The Ramban, and the second answer is the Ran. The Ramban says, he's a crazy chiddush. He says that no, the Mafata will get the Knas in our case. Right, he's earing off from what we simply always understood, the Mafata never gets the Knas. We're saying the Mafata will get the Knas in our case. Why? Because the father cannot be Morish the schus of the Knas to his sons. The father died before Gemar Din. And she'll get it. Okay, but why wasn't there Mechila? So we say, when we say that normally a girl who was Mafata was Mochel the Knas and she doesn't get it, that is only talking about a case where the father was dead at the time of the pitoy, at the time that she was mefata. Why? Because she knows, if the father is dead, that she knows that she normally would be getting knas if this was a case of ones, and now she's doing it willingly, and she's being mochel her knas that she would have gotten if she wouldn't have done it willingly. However, in our case, the father's alive at the time of pitoy, so she's thinking in her head, well, I'm not going to get the knas anyway. Right, it's going to the father. So she, and so if he was ma'anis me. So when she does the pitui, she's not mochel on the knas. She wasn't even supposed to get the knas. Oh, technical situation popped up. The father happened to die before Gemar Din, and then suddenly his chus in the knas went to the girl, and therefore the girl was never mochel that knas, and therefore she'll get that knas. So when it says harei hein shalatma, it literally means the knas of ones and the knas of mefata in this case before Gemar Din. Very big chiddush. So the Ran says, Ran quotes this from Ban actually, and then says that he doesn't agree. It's a very big chiddush. He says, really, it's just saying harein shel atzma, meaning in theory it should go to her, because and leave the reshus of the father's party, right? All the brothers, right? She is zocha in it. She is zocha in the knas, even as mefata. However, there just happens to be a technical detail that she was mocheles, and therefore she can't collect her zchus. But once the father died, once the father died, the knas did go to the girl. It just happens to be she was mucheles, so she couldn't get it. So just to run through one more time, a quick outline of Sugya 42, Boshes Gam, Benarish, Nisnarsim, Nisgarsha. We had a three-man machlokas in the Mishnah. Abasula, Nisnarsim, Nisgarsha. Rabbi Yossi Gulili says she gets absolutely no knas, because the pasuk says a share lower rasa, and if a girl had erisin, she gets no knas. This girl had erisin, there's no knas. Rekiva of the Braisa, I'm just skipping the Rekiva in the Mishnah. Rekiva of the Braisa says there is a knas, and it goes to the father, because the pasuk is just teaching us that the pasuk is only teaching us that if a girl is currently in arusa, she gets no knas. Every other girl, she retains her nara status once she gets divorced, and it's normal, it goes to the father. Rekiva the Mishnah was the strange pshat. He said there is a knas, however, it goes to the girl, right? Because the pasuk teaching us, the pasuk isn't saying that a girl who's who was an arusa never gets knas. It's saying the father doesn't get it, and the girl gets it. Fine. What about boshes ubegam? Does the girl get that according to Rekiva? So the Rambam says, no, the father gets everything. We had a special drasha teaching us that the knas goes to the girl instead of her father. Right? We separate the knas and the boshes gam because we had a special drasha. The Rosh says there's a hekesh. The boshes gam goes where knas goes, since the knas goes to her, based on the pasuk, so too the boshes gam goes there. Then we had our case of the father dying before Gemar Din, before the Din, and we know the din is the knas goes to the girl. So what about the boshes gam? Where does boshes gam go? Tosfos says we have the hekesh. So once the knas goes to the girl, he agrees with the rush. There's a hekesh. Once the knas goes to the girl, boshes gam goes to the girl. The Ramban says no hekesh. Rather, we use svara. The knas goes to the girl because the man was never actually zocha in it. And you can't be morish a knas, right? He didn't have gemar din yet that changes the knas into a momentous that he could be morish, right? It was still knas. Can't be morish a knas. So that's why the girl gets it. However, the boshes gam, he was chai from the time of the onis, and so regardless of the father died, doesn't matter. He can morish his chus in mamonis, and therefore the brothers will get the boshes gam, and the girl will get the knas. The Rambam comes and says, no, the girl gets everything, just like Tosfos, right? But apparently, Rashach jumps and says, well, how can the Rambam say that the girl gets everything? There's no svara why the girl should get the boshes gam unless you hold to the hekesh, and the Rambam doesn't hold to the hekesh. Because we know the Rambam by Nisarsim and Nisgarsha split the says the girl gets the by Nisarsim and Nisgarsha, he said the girl gets the knas, but the father gets the boshes gam. So how can he say here that the girl even gets the boshes gam? What's the reasoning when seemingly it's momentous? The brother should get it as an inheritance. So Shach answers that there's a drasha of Natan Laviyanara, right? That it needs to have that the time of the schus of the father is when there's an atina. Right, and that's why Rav Shimon there said that he really only gets it at the actual time of the transference. But he says the Chachamim will say that the Gemar Din is a beginning of a transference, and that's why that's their Sha'as Natina. It's the Gemar Din, fine. That's when he's Zocha, and everything that is going to Lavi and Ara is Zocha at the time of the Sha'as Natina, which is Gemar Din. So now, what is everything that's going to the father? Well, we have a Svara that says the Boshes Gam can go to the father because the father is in charge of the girl. He has control over her busha. He can marry her off to a Menuvah Lamukah Shechin and collect the Kedusha Kesef. So now we know that in a normal case, the Boshes Gam is something that also goes to the father. So when we say v'natan la avianara, we don't have to say it's just talking about a knas. It's also talking about the worship of the gam. And when is the father all zocher in this? At the time of v'natan, the time of shas natina. And when is that shas natina? The chachamim say it's after gemar din. So the Rambam could say the boshes of gam also the father is only zocher in after gemar din. The father died before gemar din, and therefore he was never zocher in the boshes of gam to be morish to the sons. And therefore the girl will get everything. Nothing to do with the hekesh. Fine. So Rambam, Tosos, and Rush, they all agreed that the boshes v'gam will go to the girl with the knas. So they have no problem reading Harei and Shalatma that in this case of the father dying before the Gemar Din, they have no problem reading that Harei Hain, the boshes v'gam, will go to the girl, because they say everything goes to the girl. Oh, but the Ramban, who says we split it, that the knas goes to the girl, but the boshes v'gam goes to the brothers as the inheritors of the father, how can he read Harei Hain Shalatma, that they go to her, the girl herself? So the Rabban answers, "Oh, it's talking about the knasos of onus and mafata. The knas of, regardless of the case, onus mafata, it goes to the girl." And we said, but mafata doesn't get knas. So we had two answers. One was the Rabban's answer that generally mafata doesn't get knas because generally mafata is yesoma. The father died already, so she's mocha when she has the pitoy. She's mocha the knas because she knows she gets it. However, in our case, at the time of the pitoy, at the time of the Maisa, she didn't know she was getting the Knas. Her father was alive. She assumed her father would get it. So therefore, she was never Mocheles on the Knas. It happens, and then once the father died, so she gets the Knas. And the Ran says that, no, really, whenever a Mefata never gets Knas, she's always Mochel. So how can we say Harei Hein Shel Atma? Because it's more of a technical thing that, in theory, it's a mere theoretical thing. In theory, she does get the Knas. There just happens to be she's zocha in it. Once the father dies, she is zocha in the knas of onis and even in the knas of mafata. Happens to be a technical detail. She was mocheles, so she can't collect the knas that she's zocha in. But it was still her zocha and other brothers. Shkoyach.